This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is from our episode, Star Wars, Science Strikes Back. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Star Wars has some pretty fantastical ideas, but still, here in the real world, we occasionally make scientific advances that seem like they came right out of those movies. Take, for example, tech from Tatooine. That's the desert planet with the two suns where Luke Skywalker grew up long before he became a Jedi. His aunt and uncle were moisture farmers, pulling water out of the air with devices they called vaporators. Here on Earth, there's a global competition to make something like this reality, to one day ease our planet's water concerns. Kate Golden has this story from Australia.
It's no Tatooine, but this part of Australia gets seriously parched sometimes. I'm a couple hours west of Sydney, riding around with Ian McLennan on his 5,000-acre farm.
Tell me about how important water is in this whole system that you've got.
Yeah, well, water's everything. Without water, you can't do anything.
It's late spring. I'm looking at green rolling hills with a whole lot of sheep. Not super dry, but this area is still recovering from the worst drought in living memory. The Millennium Drought started in 2000 and lasted a decade. A lot of farmers got out of farming. Ian and his family got through it, in part because they had a decent-sized dam, a man-made lake on the property. Ian and his son laid thousands of miles of irrigation pipes from the dam, so they had some water even in the driest times.
It looks like there's a lot of water there, but you can see it's about 10 feet down.
What did this dam look like during the drought?
Well, you know, about another 3 foot lower than it is here now.
When the water dries up, the pasture crops die. That leaves the sheep hungry. Normally they'd feed themselves grazing. So in a drought, you either have to buy hay to feed your sheep or sell your animals to someone who can. Either way, you lose money. Ian takes me up to the house for tea with his wife, Pammy. I ask her straight off what the drought was like, and it brings up some tough times for her.
Just masses of hard work, physically out there all the time, helping Ian feed stock. It makes me teary now, thinking about it, because it would look terrible.
I'm sorry.
It's all right. It's just... We had sort of 10 years of it, so it just went on and on and on. And I suppose you start to get used to it, and you think that this is just the way it is. And I had a husband who worked so hard doing it all. And I think at times now that things have got better, yes, it's good, but there's a part of us that probably broke us a little bit there.
And yet, the McLennans consider themselves lucky because they have that lake and the irrigation system. Other small farmers nearby pay tens of thousands of dollars a year for their water. What if they didn't have to wait for rain or for government policies to change, but could make water on their own, just from the air? That is what the scientists and engineers competing in the Water Abundance XPRIZE are trying to make happen. XPRIZE is putting up $1.5 million for a device that can pull 2,000 liters of water out of the air using only renewable energy. That's about 530 gallons, and that water can only cost around 8 cents a gallon. Xenia Tata, a global development expert, is running this competition. She says that with the world population growing and the climate changing, our water problems are not going to fix themselves.
So by 2022, 2 out of 3 people will live in water-scarce areas around the planet. This water crisis will affect all of us. There is no escape from that.
Xenia is hoping the competition will catalyze huge amounts of water innovation, a whole new industry. I went to the University of Newcastle to meet one of the 88 teams around the world that are trying for the prize.
So this is called A-Block. That's where...
For some of these chemical engineers on the team, it's personal. One guy is from a spot in central China where you can't drink the tap water anymore. Postdoc Priscilla Tremaine says in her youth, she'd have to drink bottled water when tropical storms hit her mom's village in Fiji.
We get hit by a cyclone and then the water is completely cut off. Or you've got rapids going past you but you can't drink any of the water because it's all contaminated.
Some weeks out from the official testing, their prototype atmospheric water generator is almost ready, and I've come down to the lab to see it.
And that's where the prototype for this X-Prize.
We stroll past heaps of high-tech analytical equipment and get to what is essentially the team's garage project. Picture a large steel box frame, like for a bed. I see bolts sticking through, some fly screen. It's far from futuristic. Behdad Mukhtaderi is the team leader.
We absolutely have no money for this project, so we actually therefore contributing our time and, you know, bits and pieces that we found in our labs and workshops to put it together.
Behdad says their device is more Mad Max than Star Wars.
I'm just looking at the frames and it's all rustic and, you know, we want it to be the cheapest possible material and, you know, simplest design. So that's how it's going to look like, you know.
You have to do basically the minimum that you can in order to see if this has legs.
Great.
The frame is tipped up at an angle to face the sun. And instead of the mattress having stuffing, it's filled with thousands of little white beads, silica gel. It's the same stuff as in those little packets that say do not eat, the ones that come inside new shoes. The silica's job is to suck up water. Somehow the team managed not to spill the beads while building this thing, but Andrew Maddox says there have been a few hiccups.
So we've gone through a number of design changes from our initial sketch. It's been fun for most of it, a little bit frustrating sometimes.
The as-yet-unnamed apparatus isn't moving, it isn't making any noise, but it is working, and it's as simple as morning dew. Let me explain. Hot air holds more moisture, so when night falls and the air cools down, it gives up its water and voila. So to get water, you have to cool the air. The conventional way to go might be just make a refrigerator. But fridges are energy hogs. Even if it runs on solar or some other renewable energy, that would be expensive. Andrew Maddox went the opposite way.
Where most technologies look to cool it, we're looking to actually heat something up.
First, the silica beads spend the night pulling water out of the air. When the sun comes up, the team seals off the box. The sun heats it up, which makes the water evaporate. Then they've got a box full of hot, humid air. A little fan, stripped from an old computer, pushes the air out of the box through a series of pipes, a heat exchanger just like a car radiator, and as it's cooled by the air around it, that hot air relinquishes its water.
It'll run down this angled pipe and then collect down into a bottle or whatever it is that we want to collect the water into.
A large bottle?
Yeah, a very large bottle.
2 or 3 gallons worth. So they'd need a few more of these to get to 530. The nifty bit is, the team thinks they'll be able to make water at any temperature or humidity. So Fiji, central China, Tatooine, if it were real, even dry inland Australia. Back in sheep country, I head to the town of Goulburn. During the millennium drought, the city's water supply got super low. In some of the worst times, you could use just 32 gallons a day. Wardens patrolled neighborhoods, looking for garden-watering scofflaws. A church held a prayer vigil they called a drought breaker. One of the people I spoke with, Isla Storier, she's lived here her whole life. I asked her about that time.
So did you time your showers?
I did, yeah. I struggled with 4 minutes, but yeah.
I ran the idea of the Water Abundance X-Prize by Isla and asked her what she thought of it.
My hat would definitely go off to who could invent something like that. Yeah.
Of course, you'd probably still have to conserve your water.
Yeah. Oh, really? 5 minute showers instead of 4? Yeah. Like, all I can say is, you know, I hope it works, because really long after I'm gone, they're going to have something in place. They really are.
Kate Golden reported this story.